ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाधृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य य आस्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थान् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारस्स उच्यते यस्विन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियै कर्मयोगम् असक्तस्त विशिष्यते। भगवान् इज आंसरिंग टू अर्जुना। A doubt was asked by Arjuna, if jnanam is superior than karma, then why you are insisting me to perform karma? Why you are not allowing me to take sannyasa and dedicate completely for jnana marga? When Arjuna asked this question, Bhagavan gave his reply. Three important points he told about the karma marga. One is, a mere sannyasa or kevala sannyasa without either jnanam or jnana yogyata will not help a person to gain the moksha. Inactive life, a passive life will not guarantee moksha or jnanam. First reason he gave. Second one is, total avoidance of karma is not possible. First is, it is useless. Second one is, it is not possible. Then third reason he gave, inactive life taken by a immature mind is very risky life. There is a possibility of becoming an hypocrite. Therefore, Arjuna, I don't want you to become an hypocrite, nor I want you to lose or miss this chance of gaining this knowledge, nor I want you to be a passive person, being a kevala sannyasi. We have to remember, when Bhagavan disagrees with Arjuna to take sannyasa, we have to remember to whom he is talking. He is talking to a manda adhikari. He is talking to Arjuna, who has lot of raga dvesha in his mind. In the Vedas, sannyasa is highly glorified. Na karmana na prajaya dhanena yage naike amrutatva manashu. In the Vedas, highly glorified this sannyasa. There, the disciple or the seeker is highly matured, like Nachiketas. So one and the same Shastra says in one place that take sannyasa, and the same Shastra says don't take sannyasa. So we should be very careful in understanding these seemingly contradictory statements. In the last class we saw, if a person is jnani, if a person has already gained the knowledge about the inner self through shravana and manana, and if he wants to spend the entire life in nididhyasanam, he is allowed to take sannyasa. That sannyasa is called as vidvat sannyasa. Or if a person is a yogyaha, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari, vairagi, then he is also allowed to take sannyasa. His sannyasa is called vividhisha sannyasa. Then there is third type of sannyasa, which is called escapist sannyasa or kevala sannyasa. This escapist sannyasa only, here Bhagavan is trying to dissuade. When Bhagavan disagreed with Arjuna's proposal of taking sannyasa, then Arjuna may have a question. O Lord, if you say avoidance of karma is a problem, then I find doing karma also is a problem. Karma is like a whirlpool. Once you enter, very difficult when you come out. Once you enter into grihastha ashrama, it is very difficult when you will come out. There is no guarantee that you will come out and completely dedicate your life for jnana marga. Not only that, while performing my duty, it produces lot of karma phalam. It produces lot of karma phalam. If it is positive karma phalam, one type of problem I have. If it is negative karma phalam, another type of problem. Positive means if it is successful, result is successful, then I develop arrogance and jealousy. If result is not successful, then I develop worry, anxiety, irritation. This is with regard to drishta phalam. With regard to adrishta phalam, negative phalam is papam, positive phalam is punyam. So both are going to lead for punarjanma. So I find this karma is a strong strand of a binding rope. Three strands that rope is having: avidya, kama, karma. All the three strands are made as a rope. So very strong rope. Now you are asking me to strengthen one strand. If I strengthen one strand, other two strands also are strengthened. So therefore, are you trying to put me from frying pan to fire? When I opted for sannyasa, you say that sannyasa is very dangerous and it is not possible for everyone, you say. When Arjuna has this doubt, maybe in the Arjuna's mind, not explicitly pronounced. So keeping this doubt, Bhagavan is answering. He says, avoidance of karma is certainly a problematic one, because it may make you an hypocrite person. And doing karma also is a problematic one. I am not asking you to avoid karma. I am not asking you to do karma, but I am asking you to do karma yoga. In karma yoga, the strand, one strand of the binding rope, it loses its binding capacity. You are loosening actually. The same karma which is the cause of bondage is utilized as a means for freedom. How it is? When Arjuna said that if I do karma, I will have a lot of problems, irritation, anxiety, worry, jealousy. So here Bhagavan says, if you do the same karma with karma yoga buddhi, these things are taken care of. What is karma yoga buddhi? We saw a little bit in the second chapter. Now we will see in the third chapter elaborately. Here Bhagavan says, karma yoga won't create worry, anxiety, greediness, jealousy. And karma yoga will save you from mithyachara. And karma yoga will give you jnana yogyata also, maturity also. Therefore he says, yaha indriyani manasa niyamya, one who has restrained his sense organs through viveka shakti, restrained not by suppressing, but by viveka shakti, by discrimination. Yaha indriyani manasa niyamya, yaha asaktaha san karma yogam karmendriyai arabhate, one who performs the karma yoga without raga dvesha. Saktaha means raga and dvesha. Saktaha means attached. Attached to what? Attached to karma phalam. That person should not be interested in fulfilling his ragadvesha, but at the same time he must be interested in gaining the freedom. So asaktaha san yaha karma yogam arabhate, Bhagavan says, not karma arabhate, karma yogam arabhate, one who starts or performs his duties as karma yoga, saha vishishyate, he exalts than whom? He exalts than kevala sannyasi. He exalts than the kevala sannyasi. He exalts than the mithyachari or papachari. He is far, far superior than a lazy and idle person. So lazy person is generally defined one who does not do action, but at the same time one who goes on meditating on that action. Tomorrow I have to write letter, tomorrow I have to write letter, tomorrow I have to write letter. He will go on, think about that action, but he will not perform. So he is called a lazy person. What is the meaning of idle person? One who does lot of work, but without any direction or purpose. Simply wasting his energy in idle activities. Then one more person is there, active person. He does all the actions, not for freedom, but for his personal benefit, but for his material benefit, sense pleasures, and ultimately he increases bondage. This karma yogi exalts all these three categories. So karma yogi exalts all the above mentioned three groups. Since he is doing his action with a purpose, since the very action is going to be converted as a means for freedom. Indriyani manasa sanyamya karma yogam yaha arabhate saha vishishyate. One more point Bhagavan says here, even to perform karma yoga, the first quality you must have is sense control and mind control. Shama and Dama is very, very important even to perform karma yoga. So at any stage of life, karma yoga is the way of life of grihastha. So even for a grihastha, shama and dama is a must. At any stage of his life, there is no permission for licentious life. I am married now, so I can go a free walk. No. Bhagavan says here, even though you are an householder, you have to have shama and dama. You cannot have a licentious life, provided if you are interested in freedom. So then the question comes, what is the meaning of karma yoga? Bhagavan here said simply, yaha karma yogam arabhate. Three ideas he gave in this shloka. One is, indriyani manasa sanyamya. Shama and dharma is a must. Then second one is, asaktaha san. Not interested in fulfilling his likes and dislikes. At the same time, very much interested in gaining freedom. Second one. Third one is, yaha karma yogam arabhate. First two are there. I am not going to do any action, means no use. So third also is a important one. Karma yogam arabhate, he says. What is the meaning of karma yogam? We saw a little bit in the second chapter. In the Veda, all the human actions are categorized into three types. Sattvikam karma, Rajasam karma, Tamasam karma. Three types of actions. All human actions are categorized into three types. So what is the meaning of Sattvikam karma? An action wherein beneficiaries are more other than himself, wherein beneficiaries are more. Unselfish action we call in English. Though he is also a beneficiary, but still most of the part of the result is enjoyed by others. So one who gives more and takes less. Whatever action we do, what is our attitude? give less, take more. That is a good deal, they call it. Give less money, get the more valuable thing. It's a good deal. But Vedanta says, one who gives more and takes less is successful. One who takes more and gives less is unsuccessful. So this is the difference between Vedic culture and Western culture. In Western culture, success is defined according to the quantity of the thing what he holds. In Indian culture, in Vedic culture, success is defined according to the capacity, how much you can give. Not only your house, your properties, not only that. If you can give even your dress also, okay, that also is considered. Up to that level you can go for. A person's action which contributes to the society in general, wherein his personal benefit will be very, very less. That type of actions are called sattvikam karma. This sattvikam karma contributes to the inner growth of this person. Even though he is not enjoying the external result of his actions, but still he gets karma phalam in the form of inner growth. His spiritual progress is more and more by doing this sattvikam karma. Then second category is rajasam karma. All the sattvikam karmas are called nishkama karma. Desireless action. Desireless action means desireless for external gain, but at the same time desirous of internal growth. Then second category is rajasam karma. This is selfish action. Naam iruvar, namak iruvar. All actions are surrounded with just this quote. We two, ours two. My wife, two children or one child. Not even parents are included. Not even brothers, sisters, relatives. Nobody is included in that mind. It is a selfish mind. His life will be a life of frog in the well. Very narrow life it will be. So therefore, he will be very, very selfish person. Anything he is going to do, before going to do that action itself, he will ask, what I will get? What I will get? So he is not ready to even give half an hour or 1 hour to the orphanage or to serve some people, but he is very much interested in sitting in front of the TV for 3 hours also, because he is getting some sense pleasure. This type of action doesn't produce inner growth. It doesn't give inner growth to that person, and these actions are called in the Vedanta prayashchitta karmani, kamya karmani. All the nishkama karmani comes under sattvikam karma. All the prayashchitta karma and kamya karma comes under rajasam karma. This person's life will be full of stress and anxiety, because he is very much particular about getting something from the world. Getting something from the world means it is not joke. You have to struggle a lot. First person's life is very happy life, free from anxiety, because he doesn't want anything from the world. He wants to give however much possible, he will give. Then the third category is tamasam karma. Harmful actions. Nishiddha karmani, they call it. Harmful actions. He is also selfish, but he is selfish at the cost of others' welfare. Second category was selfish, but he was not harming others. He is following his own thing within the framework, dharma, within the framework. He tries to earn money, he tries to keep, but he keeps for himself only or his family members only. We too, ours too. That is his philosophy. Here, this tamasa person is selfish at the cost of others' welfare. He will not mind killing, taking bribe, cheating others, robbery, he will not mind. Therefore, spiritual fall is inevitable. His negative bank balance will go on increase. The aim of a karma yogi is avoid totally all the tamasic actions and reduce rajasic actions and increase sattvic actions. The aim of karma yogi is to avoid all the nishiddha karmas, whatever is prohibited, whatever is harmful to the society, I should avoid. Even though I may get some material benefits, I should avoid. But unfortunately, in the modern generation, this category is only more, especially at the rulers level. They don't mind even to sell the country if they get 2000 crores, 3000 crores. They don't mind that type of society now. But Bhagavan talks about a karma yogi. Therefore, he says, avoid all the tamasic karma. Not even one tamasic karma should be there in karma yogi's life. No bribe, no stealing, no killing, no corruption, nothing. And reduce rajasic actions. Rajasic actions means kamya karma, that is selfish action. We have to take care of our family members. Our family members need money. I cannot serve the society at the cost of family members. I have to take care of family members. Bhagavan says here, you take care of them, but don't pamper them. Taking care of their needs is different from pampering them. So therefore, reduce all the rajasic actions and increase the sattvic action. Then the question comes, what is the meaning of sattvic actions? What are all the sattvic actions? Tamasic action, Bhagavan told, whatever action is going to harm others, it is tamasic. So what is the meaning of sattvic action? In the Veda itself, the sattvic actions are given. They are called Pancha Mahayajna, they are called. Briefly, we saw this in the second chapter. Here, Pancha Mahayajna, five types of actions are classified as sattvic action. All these five actions will contribute to the inner growth of the person, spiritual growth of the person. One is Deva Yajnaha, worship of the Lord at various levels. Initial level, worship of the Lord will be in the form of doing puja, meditation, japa, going to temples, giving quality time for these exclusive religious practices. So when a guest comes to you, your house, you will not talk to him seeing TV. TV also is going on. So guest also talks. Will you talk? So guest will feel bad. So what you do? You put off the TV, then you give a quality time to that person. Similarly, when Bhagavan comes to our house, how you have to treat him, that is a quality time provided for meditation, japa and ritualistic puja, etc. And slowly the mind gets maturity and it tries to appreciate the presence of the Lord, not only in temple, not only during puja time, but all the time in all places. This devotee is matured enough to see the presence of the Lord as Virat. Very Jagat itself is the Bhagavat Swarupa. Then all his activities he converts as a puja. This is called Deva Yajnaha. Then comes Pitru Yajnaha. Gratitude towards the forefathers. Shastra says, Kritagne Nasti Nishkritihi. A human being who doesn't have gratitude cannot be called as a human being at all. So all the forefathers, fathers, grandfather, great-grandfather, they have contributed, they have sacrificed their life for our welfare. Therefore, everyone has to have the gratitude. Gratitude in two forms. If they have passed away, towards them we show our gratitude by performing Shraddha and Tarpana. We don't perform Shraddha and Tarpana daily, once in a year. And if they are alive, we have to take care of parents, grandparents who are alive. Our culture doesn't believe in the day culture. There is a day culture in Western countries. What is that? Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandfather's Day, Diabetic Day. One day you remember, other all the 364 days, you forget. So Vedanta or Vedic culture never allows it. Every day at all time you are having debt towards them, you are having pitru rina, you have to pay that pitru rina. If it is in the form of ceremony, okay, once in a day, once in a year. But if it is in the form of service to the parent, it should be always. Then third comes Brahma Yajnaha. Brahma Yajnaha means gratitude towards rishis and rishi patnis for their contribution, for their tapas, for their wisdom, because without them this Bharata Desha would not have this Vedic culture. So India, if at all respected in the Western countries, in the other countries, if at all really respected, for what purpose it is respected? For this culture, great culture. Rig Veda is the oldest religious literature available in the entire world. Bhagavad Gita is the greatest popular scripture. Like that, our Desha is respected because of our scriptures and because of our culture. So rishis have contributed to that culture. Therefore, we have to be grateful to them. Grateful to them, how? There are many people, they worship the Shastra. What they do, you know? They will keep Bhagavatam or Ramayana in their puja room. Show incense sticks and arati. That also good only compared to others. But here the gratitude or the worship mentioned is Swadhyaya and Pravachana, in the form of studying that scriptures, in the form of assimilating those ideas, and in the form of sharing those ideas. It is our duty to preserve these great ideals of human life and pass on to the future generation, at least to our children. Pravachana means sharing. Doesn't mean that you have to go for lecturing or anything. At least to your children, you have to pass on this. That's why after finishing the Brahmacharya Ashrama, the Guru gives advice to the Snataha. Snataha means one who has completed the Brahmacharya Ashrama. Ritancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Satyancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Tapascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Tamascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Shamascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Agnayascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Agnihotramcha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Achitayascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha. How many times comes, you see? Swadhyaya Pravachana, Swadhyaya Pravachana. How many times? Swadhyaya Pravachanabhyam na Pramaditavyam. He says, never forget to study the religious scriptures which are taught in the Gurukula. Now the problem is Gurukula itself is not there, not taught at all, not to study. The idea is you have to spend some time in your day-to-day schedule with spiritual literatures. Parayanam of Gita, simple parayanam. Nowadays CDs and cassettes are there. Even if you don't understand anything, simply hear that. Because very hearing these shabdas purifies the mind. Gita parayanam, Ramayana parayanam, Bhagavata parayanam. And there is a ritual. They call it Brahma Yajna. Ritual also is there. 5 minutes ritual it is. There I wholeheartedly remember the contribution of the rishis. I convey my pranams to all of them. Rigvedam tarpayami, Yajurvedam tarpayami, Samavedam tarpayami, Asarvanavedam tarpayami, Vyakaranam tarpayami. Even grammar also is very very important. Sarvan rishin tarpayami. I worship all the rishis. Sarvan rishipatni tarpayami. All the rishipatnis also I worship. Because if they are nagging people, all the time nagging their husband, the rishi would not have found out the great wisdom in his meditation. Therefore, I convey my gratitude, one in the form of studying them and sharing with the others, and another in the form of ritual. Then fourth yajna is manushya yajnaha. All types of social service activities come under this manushya yajna. By my action, I contribute to the whole humanity. Because even for our present comfortable life, many people have sacrificed their life. For our political freedom, so many people have sacrificed their life. Even if I want one particular class, so many people sacrificed their life, their time. They invented how to have this class. Even for a coffee, morning first utility item, what I use is coffee. So that also was the contribution of some human being. The road which I use, how many people suffered? The car I am using, how many people sacrificed their time? So in general, I am remembering them, or in general, I contribute to the future generation. I cannot contribute to the past. Already they have gone. Na? So, every comfort I get is due to someone's contribution. Therefore, I also contribute to the future generation. Gratitude is in the form of Shivajnani Jeeva Seva. This is householder's duty. Now householder have forgotten Shivajnana Jeeva Seva, therefore Swamiji has come and he asked sannyasins to take this Shivajnana Jeeva Seva. Shivajnana Jeeva Seva means what? Serving the society with the attitude that it is Bhagavan himself. Society is Bhagavan. All these social service activities has to be done by grahasthas. Because for a sannyasi there is only one duty. What it is? Studying the scriptures, sharing those scriptures, Vedantic scriptures, Atma Vidya Pravachanatma. In Bhagavadam also, Bhagavan says, Hathamam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhutatmanam Kutalayam Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam Maitriya Abhinnena Chakshusha. A Grihastaha, a Karmayogi, a Bhaktaha has to worship me. In what way? Not only in the statue, not only in the photo, not only during the puja time. Sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatmanam krutalayam. I have taken body of every being as my temple. So how to worship that? Not by doing arati. Dana manabhyam. By fulfilling the need of that person. With respect. Maitriya abhinnena chakshusha. With the idea that he is not different from the Lord. So this is called Manushya Yajnaha. Then fifth one is called Bhuta Yajnaha. Respectful approach towards the nature, towards all animals. That is why in our Vedic culture you can see animals are either Vahanas, or many animals are associated with Devatas. Snake is associated with Bhagavan Shiva. Even rat is associated with Ganesha. Peacock is associated with Lord Subramani. Like that, animals and birds are associated with the Lord. For what purpose it is? To remind us that no life is inferior to human being. This also is a unique one to the Indian culture. In Western culture, it says all living beings are for the sake of enjoyment of human being. So you can do any akrama and you can grab the entire nature. You can kill and you can use them for your sense pleasures. But Vedic culture says no. Whatever is useful, how much is useful, that much only you have to use them. While using also you should have a respectful approach. Not a grabbing approach. Nowadays, because of this grabbing only, global warming. You have grabbed the natural resources too much, misused the nature too much, then it is getting global warming. Now they are thinking about how to correct it. Bhagavan told you need not do anything. If you don't pollute that much enough, I will take care of maintenance of the creation. But this fellow, because of his arrogance and selfishness, did wrong thing. Now the humanity is suffering, future humanity is going to still suffer more and more. Therefore, all these are compulsory, choiceless it is. If a person doesn't do, if a grihastha doesn't do all these things, how much you do, how much quantity you do, with what quality you do, differs from person to person. But all the things should be done. Panchamaha yajna, these are all mentioned in the Veda itself. Panchava yete maha yajnaha satati prajayante satati santishtante. Deva yajna, pitru yajno, manushya yajno, bhuta yajno, brahma yajna iti. In Upanishad also it is mentioned. Kurvan neveha karmani jijivishegu chatakun samaha. A person who is desirous of living 100 years, he has to perform all this. He can live with performance of all these panchamaha yajna. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also says, tametam vedanu vachanena brahmana vividishanti yajnena danena tapasa anashakena. All these are all going to help, be very helpful for the spiritual guidance of the seeker. So these are not optional but compulsory. Not performing these panchamaha yajna will lead to pratyavaya papam, omission it is called. Because modern generation has violated all these things. Modern generation have lot of diseases, lot of problems, lot of stress. Modern generation is more comfortable than the older generation. No electricity was there in the older generation. 100 years before also no electricity. Now we have electricity. We have lot of machines. Life became comfortable, but it became painful now. In those days, life was not comfortable, but it was a happy life because everybody followed their duties. So Karma Yogi is one who follows all these panchamaha yajna, and by following all these panchamaha yajna, he proves that he is a blessing to the society. You just imagine a person who is pious, who takes care of his parent and who never violates dharma, who studies lot of scriptures and shares with others, and who serves the society, spends at least 1/4 of his earning to the society, 1/4 of his time to the society, and never violates the natural laws. So if that society is there, how nice it should have been. So Karma Yogi is a blessing, not a burden. Therefore only in the Vedic culture when we say never try to cut trees. If all you want to cut trees, you have to put 5 saplings, then you cut afterwards. This is called proper action or sattvikam karma. Karma yoga consists of 2 parts. One is proper action, second one is proper attitude. So what is proper action? Sattvikam karma are called proper actions. What is sattvikam karma? Panchamaha yajna. Now we go for proper attitude. In the second chapter itself, Bhagavan gave 2 types of attitude. One is samatvam yoga uchyate. He defined karma yoga as samatvam yoga uchyate. Another one is yogaha karmasu kaushalam. So the proper attitude is, whatever I do, it is for my samatva, equanimity of mind. How to keep this samatva? As karta, as a doer of an action, I should have Ishwararpana buddhihi. While performing any action, I should have Ishwararpana buddhihi. Kaye navaja manasa indriyairva buddhyatmanava prukte svabhava yajyat karomi sakalam parasmai narayana yeti samarpayami. Whatever I do, O Lord, it is for your puja. So when we do our actions as puja, generally puja can be done only by quality items. You won't offer to the Lord a rotten banana. So only quality things you will offer. So all our actions will be converted as a quality action. And in puja there is no place for arrogance. There is no place for personal likes and dislikes. So converting day-to-day activities as worship. No distinction between spiritual activities and secular activities. Nowadays the society has this distinction. In temple he is so pious, so devoted. Then once the chappal is put on, over, he becomes another person. Because of this distinction, secular actions and religious actions, this society is suffering. In our culture, we did not have this type of segments. So, you will do it wholeheartedly, whatever you do, since you are convinced that whatever I do is going to be offered to the Lord, therefore, it will be a puja. So, puja cannot be done with grudging mind. Even office work also, weekend comes means jump. Monday morning means down. Everyone, that's why everyone is happy when leave is announced. When leave is announced, why? Because this person, he cannot give up that profession. At the same time, he doesn't like that profession. You just imagine a conflict between that mind. Go on, do a thing which you don't like. So here Shastra says, whatever you do, start liking it. How you like it? Make it as a worship. When worship attitude comes, immediately there is no place for likes and dislikes. No grudging, no anxiety for you. So as a karta, you have Ishwarapana Buddhi. As a bhokta, while receiving the results, you should have Prasada Buddhi. External results may or may not be according to our wish. It may come or it may not come. Because we don't have control over various hidden variables. A farmer can sow the seed, but cannot be sure of what type of harvest he will get. Similarly, any action, so external result may come or may not come. But if you accept them as a prasada of the Lord, so whatever comes makes you happy. Why should I accept? Shastra says you don't have any choice. It is choiceless situation. Already it has come. Already your mark sheet has come. Already your pink slip has come. It is already passed. Passed, you cannot change it. So therefore, accept it. What happened already in your life. Then next time you can try for other changes. Not with regard to this particular result. It is a thankless job. Many have this attitude. So much I am working, especially mothers, housewife mothers. So it is really a thankless job. Day after day go on getting up, washing and cleaning and cooking, cleaning, feeding. Same thing continues. After 20 years these children ask, what you have done for us? So it is a thankless job. This idea will not come if the person has this attitude. Similarly for father also. He goes to a job, brings money, goes to job, brings money. After 20 years, wife will ask, what you have done? Or not even one silk sari. So, both feel it is a thankless job. This attitude will not come. So, what is the benefit of this attitude? Bhagavan says, samatvam yoga ucchati. Samatva is the benefit. Samatva with regard to pleasant and unpleasant action. You won't have any grudge about any action or any result of that action. All duties are not going to be a desirable duties. Mind you, in life, there are so many situations in everybody's life wherein we cannot do desirable actions, wherein we are forced to do undesirable actions. So if a person has this karma yoga buddhi, he can avoid. So when Swamiji used to tell, husband, one who goes always outside, he wants to be inside the home at the weekends. Housewife who is always in the house, she wants to go out at the weekends. The person who goes out wants to be inside. The person who is inside wants to go out. So both are not satisfied. Why this? Because they have kept the phala or the attitude of all their day-to-day life action as a external compulsion. What to do? I have to do. Bhagavan here says, convert those actions which life has brought to you, inevitable actions, as a worship. So he will not say, Bhagavan is an unjust person. when unwanted result comes to his life, everybody asks now, why me? Why me means what? Why not others? He is not bothered about that unwanted result to others. Why me? Why? I have so nice, never told a lie, this itself lie. Never harmed any person. So good I am, daily going to temple. But still Bhagavan gave this sorrow to me. He will not ask. He will be very much convinced about the justice of the Lord. God, Bhagavan's justice cannot question at all. In cricket game, they say, you can question the umpire. Up to what time? Up to third umpire result comes. You can wait up to third umpire shows. Third umpire is not human being on the field, but an instrument. So Bhagavan doesn't need any third umpire. If he sends something to your address, he doesn't have any address problem also. No address confusion for him. Nor he is bribed by somebody so that he will send to you something. Nor he is ignorant like this ordinary cricket umpire. First umpire, second are ignorant. Therefore only they depend upon the third umpire. But once the out is given, what happens? You have to keep quiet and go. If you little bit to show resistance, you will be fined. Same rule applies to our life also. So, this person, a karma yogi, will be a man of enthusiasm and cheerfulness. In spite of loss, in spite of diseases, in spite of old age, he will always be a cheerful person. Mukta sango anahamvadi dhriti utsaha samanvitaha. He will be always a smiling person in spite of problems. Materially he may not be a successful one, but his inner growth is very high. He will certainly gain that inner growth. Then second idea he gave is yogaha karmasu kaushalam. The binding action is converted here as a means for freedom. That is called dexterity. Whatever makes you to have the dexterity of converting a binding action as a means for freedom, that is called yogaha. So karma yoga gives chitta shuddhi and vairagyam. Sign of growth is this vairagyam only. How we know that we have grown, matured? In one place Acharya says that desire for freedom will be more and more. Interest in moksha shastra will be more and more. More and more a person likes the Vedanta Shravanam, his mind is getting purified. That is the indication of purification. Thus, karma yogi vishishyate is so far, far superior to the kevala sannyasi and the ordinary karmi. So this karma yoga can be practiced with the four types of attitudes. Bhagavan will explain four types of attitudes. In whatever attitude you take that karma yoga, what you perform. One is Ishvara Ajna, Karma Yoga or Panchamaha Yajna as Ishvara Ajna. It is the commandment of the Lord. It is Vihidam Karma, it is Niyatam Karma. If I don't obey that command, I will get punishment. Law of the land says pay the income tax. If you don't pay the income tax, you have not committed anything, but you have omitted certain commandment, therefore you will be punished. Similarly, here also, you have to do it as Ishvara Ajna, or you can do it as Ishvara Yajna, Ishvara Puja, or you can do it for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi, purity of mind, or you can do it as a Dharma. Dharma means he is not a believer of God, he is not a believer of anything after death. At the same time, he also should practice all these things because he is taking something from the society. Yeah, he cannot disturb the universal harmony. For the sake of universal harmony, he has to give back since he has taken from the society with that attitude. So what attitude you may have, that differs from the person to person, but at any cost you cannot avoid them. In the next 10 shlokas, Bhagavan will explain all these four attitudes. Niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajyayo hya karmanaha sharira yatra pichate na prasiddheta karmanaha. Attitude of Ishvara Ajna is explained in this shloka. Akarmanaha karma jayaha. Karma yoga is far superior to avoidance of action. Akarmanaha means avoidance of action. Why? In the previous shlokas itself he told, Nahi kachit shanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krute. You cannot simply keep quiet. You will be an hypocrite. By simply keeping quiet, you will not gain any benefit. Therefore, karma yoga is far, far superior than the lazy and idle life. If you are a jnani, you can give up this karma yoga. If you are a jignasu or jnana yogyaha, then also you can give up this karma yoga. But at the same time, you cannot totally give up the actions. You can change or reduce the actions, but you cannot have complete avoidance of action. At least sannyasi also should go for bhiksha, na? He also should go for bhiksha. Going for bhiksha also is an action, eating also is action. Even if he doesn't go, somebody feeds to him. He has to open his mouth and take the food. So that also is an action. So total avoidance of action is not possible. Therefore, akarmanaha karma jayaha. Never try to avoid the duties. Never try to reduce your duties also, as long as you are not matured enough. Never try to change your duties also. So dharma also don't change, as long as you are not matured enough. That's why some people who want to have escape is sannyasa, suddenly they quarrel, after quarrel they will go out. They may think that in solitude I will perform some japa or meditation. At least for one day, they will come out, come back again. So that one day also it will be a nightmare for them. The solitude will be a nightmare. You will feel that the silence of that solitude, as a silence in the graveyard silence, you will tell after coming back, Papa, so much silent like smashana. But if a mature man goes there, that silence he will enjoy as the silence in the ashrama. Ashrama silent. That is smashana silent. Why? Because the person's mind is not matured, so he will feel lonely. That's why now everybody has to plan how to spend leave. How to spend 2-3 days means they have to plan how many cinema I have to see, what are the DVDs I have to bring, where to go. Because keeping quiet is very, very difficult. Bhagavan says, it is not only far, far superior than the inaction. Te sharira yatra api akarmanaha na prasidhyet. Your very survival, physical survival, very survival of your body will not be possible without doing actions. Even if you don't do any action, suppose a rich man is there, many people are there to serve him. He eats, goes for rest, comes back to dining hall, goes to rest, comes back to dining hall. There are people, because parents might have kept lot of money, richness, they don't need anything to do. But after some time, doctor will tell, take one dog and walk for 2 miles. Sharira yatra, because this fellow has gained super weight, 120 kilos, what to do? So sharira yatra also not possible without doing some action or the other. When the whole universe is constantly active, how can you hope to survive without doing any action? Therefore, inactivity is the sign of death, activity is the sign of life. Therefore, tvam niyatam karma kuru. Just because you should be active, don't do all the unwanted actions. So I should be active, Krishna told. So take one sword, go and do something, killing action or something. Or go to the garden, so dig a pit and afterwards close that pit. So it is a useless action. Niyatam karma kuru. You perform your prescribed duties. What are the prescribed duties? We saw that Panchamaha, Yajna, the duties which will help you to gain the inner maturity. Disobeying that commandment will give you papam, because it is niyatam. Niyatam means a must, vihitam. When you disobey something which is ordered, then you get the papam. Pratyavaya papa it is called. You have to pay back your debt. There are three types of runa: pitru runa, rishi runa, deva runa. For every human being, pitru runa is there, debt towards the parent and society, and deva runa, debt towards the gods who sustain or maintain these natural forces, and debt towards the rishis. So you have to pay back their debt. If you refuse to pay back the debt, what will happen? Loan you have taken. If you refuse to pay the loan or interest, what happens? Negative balance will go on increase. So this is called stick philosophy. If you don't do, you will get punishment. It is called a stick philosophy. But Shastra doesn't stop with stick philosophy. At the same time, stick philosophy is necessary, because all are not matured enough. If all are matured, there is no need for traffic police at all. You put the signal and go, all will be following it. But all are not matured. So you need traffic police, then again that CCTV camera. Because after getting caught by the traffic police also, you will argue, "Sir, I was within line only, I have not jumped the traffic." You will argue. Police wala will show that TV photo. See, you have jumped the signal. That much immature mind. So therefore, Bhagavan talks about this stick philosophy in this shloka. The next four shlokas, that is from the 9th shloka to 12th shloka, he will talk about the karma yoga should be performed as the Ishvara puja. Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaḥ tadartham karma kaunteya mukta saṅghasamācara. He says, you do all your activities as yajñaḥ, as the worship of the Lord. Yajñārtham, tadartham means yajñārtham, bhagavadartham. Here yajñaḥ means Bhagavan, yajñō vai Viṣṇuḥ. For the sake of Lord, you do the activities. Why should I do for the sake of Lord? I am ready to do for the sake of my spouse or for the sake of my children. Why should I do for the sake of Lord? Bhagavan says, you will become mukta saṅghaḥ, free from all the bondages. So entire Gita is for a mumukshu, understand. When Arjuna surrendered to the Lord, "O Lord, give me the solution for my life problems," then only all these words are given. So entire Gita teaching is for a mumukshu. Therefore Bhagavan happily can say that you wanted freedom, so I am giving one of the means for that freedom. Mukta saṅghaḥ tadartham karma kaunteya kuru. If you don't do for the sake of Lord, anyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. If you don't do your actions as the worship to the Lord, anyatra, if you don't do, then the very actions will be a cause for your bondage. How it causes bondage? We saw that karma phala. Karma gives karma phala. Drishta phalam, adrishta phalam. Drishta phala means profit and loss. If profit comes, I get arrogance and jealousy, because profit is depend upon the person. So even if he gets 10 lakh, when he sees that somebody has got 1 crore, so he gets jealous. If he is satisfied with that profit, then he wants once more time, greediness, arrogant, like that. And if it is a loss, the result is a loss one, then he has that anxiety, fear, worry. And if it is a adrishta phalam, punya also gives one type of bondage, papa also creates another type of bondage. So anyatra yajñātāt anyatra karmaṇaha ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. Whatever you do other than the worship to the Lord, all those actions will cause you bondage more and more. So this ಈಶ್ವರ ಪೂಜಾ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಈಶ್ವರ ಪೂಜಾ ವೈಲ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಇನ್ನೋವೇಟಬಲ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್. ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೋರ್, ವಿಚ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಹರಯೇ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೆ ಪ್ರಣದ ಕ್ಲೇಶನಾಶಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ.